Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's AEW NXT Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing both AEW and NXT at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Two big shows this week, and two very equal shows, in my opinion, this week. And before we get into the ratings and exactly what happened in each episode, we have this. Here now, the news. Maybe not good news if you're a WWE subscriber. The WWE released their financial statements, and they were actually pretty good. You know, we had speculated that the firing of the co-presidents probably indicated that when the numbers came out, the numbers were going to be pretty weak. Actually, the numbers were not weak. They were actually pretty good. But with that, Vince McMahon took some conference calls, and something came up that, in my opinion, is going to make a lot of fans extraordinarily upset. And at the same time, I think is extraordinarily detrimental to the company, but something that Vince McMahon admitted very strongly. He's not only considering, he's attempting. And that is pulling the WWE pay-per-views off of the WWE network and marketing them out to a separate streaming service for you to purchase. So I know what everybody's saying. Well, wait a minute. I pay my $9.99 a month. This is what they told me. I'm going to get all of this free pay-per-views. This is the reason I bought the network to begin with. I didn't buy the network to watch Ride Along. I didn't buy the network to catch up on things. Yes, of course, you'll be able to, like, the next day or whatever, probably watch it for your $9.99 or next week, whatever it's going to be. But live, no. So fans would be asking, well, you know, what am I paying my $9.99 for? Older pay-per-views? Some of these original shows that, let's face it, there's not a lot of people watching. Vince McMahon, when asked about this, said yes, that's being considered very strongly and even attempted, and that many different services have asked if the pay-per-views were available. Like ESPN Plus would be one, or I don't know if Fight would do it. I don't know who's going to really do it, but let's just give an example of whichever one. Most of these services you have to subscribe to anyway. In other words, maybe you have to pay $4 or $5, $6, $8, I don't know how much, to get a particular service. And then you have to pay for the pay-per-view on top of it. So, like, I think ESPN Plus had the UFC fight. And ESPN Plus, I think, is like $5 just to have it. And then you got to pay for the UFC fight on top of that. Now, I'm going to warn the WWE ahead of time. If you're trying to get big money, well, maybe that'll work, because these services will probably offer you a tremendous amount of money for the rights to run your pay-per-view. But if you're trying to get eyes on the product, you can forget this idea. This is a disastrous idea, because I'm promising you that after years of paying $9.99 to get every pay-per-view that month, there is no way in hell that most fans are going to spend that $9.99 and then spend another $5, $6, $8 to subscribe to another service and then pay $9, $10, $19, however much it's going to be, dollars to get the pay-per-view each time. They're not going to do it. They're not paying $9.99 now. You got 1.4 million subscribers. That's it. That's how many people are willing to pay $9.99 to see all your pay-per-views. So how many people are willing to pay $40? How many? You want your product to vanish from the eyes of the fans, go right ahead. But when that happens, you can kiss the WWE Network goodbye. I'm telling you, no one, myself included, there's no reason for me to have this network. Of course, once in a while, I'll say, well, let me see what's on, you know, Table for Three, or let me see what's on, you know, Ride Along, or let me see about some of these behind-the-scenes things. Once in a while, I'll do that. Not often. It's there for one purpose for me. It's there because I want to watch the pay-per-views. I'm not going to spend $9.99 a month to watch Ride Along. Sorry. And here's a bigger newsflash. I'm not spending $20 a month to subscribe to a service, or $15, and then pay another $20 a month for every pay-per-view. I'm not doing that. Because that's going backwards. That's regressing. Yeah, I know. That's what some of these other federations have to do, because they're stuck that way. They don't have their own network. They don't have a way to do that. But the WWE is supposed to be groundbreakers. They're supposed to be the ones that says, look, we can bring you all this at an affordable price. If you fall backwards just to get the big money up front, and it's not going to work anyway, and I'll tell you why. Regardless of which service pays for the rights to your pay-per-view, they're not going to make it back. They're not going to make it back. You're going to want millions and millions and millions for the rights to your pay-per-views. And when 20,000 people, 30,000 people buy into the first pay-per-view, maybe they'll buy WrestleMania, maybe they'll buy the Royal Rumble or SummerSlam. The rest of these, it's going to be a ghost town. This is a horrible idea. And for Vince McMahon to say we are actively pursuing this idea is business malfeasance. It really is. You'd have to be insane to think this is going to work on any level. Once again, how many subscribers do you have that feel your pay-per-views are worth $9.99 a month? 1.4 million. Well, number one, you can kiss all that money goodbye. Because there won't be a third of those that keep the WWE network. Not a third. So the network will crash and burn. Then the people who have actually paid for the rights to stream your pay-per-views are going to see moderate at best buy-ins from fans. Moderate at best. Less eyes are going to be on your product. When there's less eyes on your product, more people are going to say, why bother watching Raw? I'm not going to get to see the pay-per-view anyway. Why bother watching SmackDown? I'm not going to get to see the pay-per-view anyway. Shit trickles downhill, and that's exactly what's going to happen here, and people are just going to fall away from your product. You're the ones who made this grand decision. We can offer everything for $9.99. If you want to raise the price, if you want to say, look, it's $9.99 and you get four pay-per-views, you can buy into any other pay-per-view you want for an additional $5 or whatever, or you can spend $20 a month and get all the pay-per-views. I'm okay with that. Everybody raises their prices eventually. I am not okay with you licensing out your pay-per-view products to another streaming service that I now have to subscribe to, and on top of that, pay for the pay-per-view. I'm not okay with that. So here's what's going to happen. Everybody who has any kind of technology at all is going to stream it on services that are less than legal. They're not going to pay for it. They're just not going to. if you make it reasonable where people say, well, there's no point in me trying to go on the internet and you know, use my Fire TV or my Roku or my whatever to stream this thing. It's only $10. People will buy into that. Maybe they might even do it for 15 or maybe even 20. But if you think for a moment that the WWE Network is going to keep 1.4 million subscribers giving you $10, then they're going to subscribe to another service for $5 to $10. Then they're going to pay for your pay-per-views at $19.99 to $29.99 to however much, God knows how much you're going to charge. They're going to charge. You're insane. You're absolutely insane. You will immediately lose viewership. Immediately lose viewership. And fans are going to take this as a sign of greed and a sign of hostility of oh, well enough for you didn't subscribe, so now you can go back to eating it for $29.99. And they're just going to say, no, I don't have to eat it. I'm just not going to buy it. And then you'll be forced to eat crow and get it back on the network, and people will have already unsubscribed, and they're not going to resubscribe. And this is a nightmare idea. I really thought Vince McMahon was a smarter businessman than this. It seems like right now all Vince McMahon cares about is money up front. Saudi Arabia, you want to put your name on a contract with some money up front? We'll pull whoever you want out of retirement. Streaming service, if you want to come up with money up front, we'll pull pay-per-views off of our network for you. I don't get it. I think this is a horrific idea, Mike, and I really think that they better think about this twice, because the amount of fans they're going to lose and the amount of eyes that's going to go off this product at a time when there are many federations that fans can choose from is just a disaster of an idea.
You're right. I mean, think about it. AEW is not doing this. Neither, I mean, even though Ring of Honor has their Honor Club, which is a pay-per-view service, but they're not doing this either. You know, I mean, they're not going backwards either. So you got other companies that seem to be moving forward, whereas WWE seems to be moving backwards. This is like them going back to the old days from pay-per-view to what was before the pay-per-view, you know,
on-demand
thing.
TV. Yeah, closed-circuit TV.
Closed-circuit TV. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, moving is a hard, like you said, it's a horrible, horrible idea. If they brought it to him and he's agreeing with them, then, like you said, I thought he was a smarter businessman than this.
They're throwing big money. That, you know, I don't know which ones are in contention. I would imagine one of the big ones is maybe like ESPN Plus or maybe even a Fox service. I don't know. But it really doesn't matter. Because in the long run, all of these people who are throwing money at them, they're there to make money. They're not throwing money at them because we just want to give the WWE a boost. No, they want to make money off the WWE. I can remember a time, and it wasn't very long ago, that the WWE didn't want you making any money off of them. We used to do some autograph signing shows where we would hire some of the professional wrestlers to do some autograph signing, and I remember very distinctly, I won't mention who because I don't want to smudge their name, but let's just say that they were one of the very, very, very top people in the company. And we had decided, myself and a couple of people who were going to run this, that we'd try to get them. And we called the agent, who promptly told us it was $10,000 for 1 hour, transportation there and back. Well, how many autographs can you sign in an hour? So we thought about it and we tried figuring it out and we said, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. We would lose money, a lot of money. So we called them back and said, we will lose money. We'll lose a tremendous amount of money. And you know what they said? So what? You don't get to make money off our athletes. You write it off like if you wanted to do this to open a business or to promote a business or whatever, you do this, write it off as advertising. You don't make money off our athletes. We don't allow that. Well, apparently that philosophy's changed. And now it's whoever wants to come up with the most money. If I hit the lotto tomorrow and said, I don't know, man, I'm starting Marcus Kane streaming service and I got about $1 billion to spend on your pay-per-views, I'd have them. This is a horrible idea. I'm just going to ask Todd. Todd, if the WWE pulls their pay-per-views off the WWE Network, number one, are you going to continue to subscribe to the WWE Network?
If they do that, I will unsubscribe. To me,
of course.
That's a slap in the face. And WWE probably lose a lot of subscribers over this. Including myself.
And now let me ask you a second question. Would you then subscribe to that other service and pay $19 or $29 or however many dollars to see every pay-per-view?
Hell no, I won't.
Oh, there you go. So there you go. There you go. You think Todd's the only one? Hundreds of thousands of people are going to say, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. There goes all the eyes off your pay-per-view. And if you miss a lot of the pay-per-view, see, at this stage, fans have been spoiled of the WWE. They don't miss any pay-per-views. Why would they? If you subscribe to the network and it's a monthly subscription where you just have never really unsubscribed, you're going to watch whatever's on, right? It's a pay-per-view. I'm going to watch it. So everyone is seeing your pay-per-view. You can pretty much rest assured that those 1.4 million subscribers, they all see your pay-per-view, which means if it's something good, they're going to tune into Raw or SmackDown to see what the fallout from the pay-per-view is. If you take away those eyes, even half of them, what's your ratings going to be on Raw? What's your ratings going to be on SmackDown? What a horrible idea. I mean, this is just a horrible idea. And for Vince McMahon to even bandy about the idea, for Vince McMahon to even say, oh, it's definitely on the table, and we'll know within a month or so if this is going to go through. That's what he said. We'll know in a month or two. Well, I'll tell you this, Vince, you'll know in a month or two is right. Because I promise you that fans will unsubscribe to the network so quick your head will spin. You'll go from 1.4 million to you'll be lucky to have the 0.4. Very lucky to have the 0.4. And they're saying, well, it won't be every pay-per-view. We might keep WrestleMania and we might keep the big four on the network. Well, we'll license out the other ones. Okay, well, then no one's going to watch the other ones. No one. I won't. I mean, I will. I won't watch it by paying some other service, though, believe me. Because, unfortunately, in today's world, there's a lot of more options. So I'd think about this, and I'd think about it hard. And if I were a streaming service, I would think about it hard, too, because you're not going to make your money back. I'm telling you, you're not going to make your money back. You know, it's like the schmucks who go and license WWE wrestlers for merchandise. You know, they come with their fucking hat in their hand and say, how much will it cost? We want to market WWE shoelaces with... Well, who do you want to put on it? For like John Cena and The Undertaker and Roman Reigns and The Rock. Yeah, they have $12 million. Okay. And then they sell five goddamn shoelaces because who the freak wants WWE shoelaces? Now, WWE is laughing at you. They don't care if you sell one goddamn shoelace. They got the money. That's exactly what Vince is saying. I don't care if anybody buys the pay-per-view. I got the money up front. But you better care if somebody buys the pay-per-view, because if they don't, they're not watching you. You moron. So they still got Raw and SmackDown for free. Yeah, but we're not watching it. Why watch the build-up to something we have no intention of seeing the conclusion to? Einstein. And then when Fox ratings drops, USA ratings drop, people just shift their ass over to AEW and watch that, then what are you going to say? Oh, I don't think they do that. Well, man, you better test market it. You better send a thing to every subscriber saying, if we pull half these pay-per-views off, will you still subscribe and watch how many people say, yes, you'll get one freaking person. Yeah, I'll still subscribe because I like Camp WWE, whatever. No one's going to subscribe, believe me. I'll even cancel. There's no point in me having it. The only reason I have it is to watch the pay-per-views. There's no reason. There's no other reason. Yes, some of the other shows is an extra added, you know, icing on the cake. But it's not the cake. I don't know, man. I mean, I realize there's greed in this, in the business world. But this is suicidal, in my opinion. Caller, are you there?
I am here, Marcus.
All right, Tom. What do you think about this? This has got to be the stupidest idea I've ever heard of.
Well, I think Vince McMahon has lost his damn mind because nobody's keeping the WWE Network, myself included. There, I said it. Not keeping the WWE Network for the, like, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy all the old stuff that's on there and the interviews and even the stuff that I had on DVD that's now on the network that I can watch over and over again, which is awesome, and the old matches and stuff like that brings back memories. But I'm not paying for another streaming service for $20 a month or whatever it is to you know, on top of my 10 that I already paid? No thanks. I think I'd
rather go back. Let me ask you a follow-up question. If the WWE was to initiate a tier where they said $9.99, you get your choice of four pay-per-views. Anything else past the four pay-per-views, you would have to pay for maybe $5 a pay-per-view. Or you could graduate to the, you know, $19.99 and you get everything. Would that be better? Would you have a better, would you have more likely a chance to keep the network doing that? Or would that be the same?
Okay, there's two schools of thought on that one. To me, honestly, they better step up their MFN game then if I'm going to pay $20 for all the pay-per-views, because honestly, their pay-per-views lately have been shit on ice. So they step up their game for $20 a month for a second tier. Then yes.
Yeah. I mean, if Vince McMahon was to hire me and say which one of these things would result in us losing less eyes on the product, I'd say the tiers. You know, because fans understand that occasionally things have to raise. If they went to $15 even, if they said, look, it's $14.99 now, you get all the pay-per-views. That's an extra, what, $7 million a month. That's quite a lot. An extra $7 million a month? $7.5 million almost. I'd go $14.99. I understand that once in a while things, you know, have to increase in price. I get that. And give fans a choice then. Say, look, $9.99, you get the four basic pay-per-views. $14.99, you get all the pay-per-views. Okay, I'm in. I'll do that. $5 extra a month is no big deal. But when you're telling me, we expect you to keep the WWE Network at 10. We expect you to subscribe to whatever service it is that's going to get our things, which is going to be a minimum of 5 to 10. Then we expect you to pay $19.99 or $29.99 or whatever the hell that service. See, WWE won't have any control over what that service charges, because they won't be getting any of that money. They'll get their money up front. Much like when we hired wrestlers to sign autographs, the wrestler had no control over what we charged. We could give it away if we wanted to. We could say, no, he's free. He don't care. He got his money. Or we could say he's $100. He don't care. He's got his money. Well, that's the thing. Vince McMahon will have his money. He don't care what they charge. So if they say, well, I don't know, man, only 10, 20,000 people bought it, we better raise it to like $30 and try to get our money back, nobody's going to do it. There are pay-per-views that happened this year that if I paid $30 for, I would be storming the company with a torch to get my money back. Plus, the ratings are going to drop for Raw and SmackDown, I'm telling you. So we'll see what happens. This is big news. And, you know, it really made my antennas go up because I'm like, wow. When Vince McMahon himself says, oh, this is in the works, we'll know within a month or two. I'm just shaking my head in disbelief saying, remember when I told everyone on the show it's no longer about what the fans want anymore? It's about how much money I can get up front from everybody? Well, this is what it is. Vince McMahon is not seeing this as a long-term thing. He knows he's getting older and everything, and he's just like, hey, well, I'm going to get every bit of money I can suck out of this thing, whether the fans like it or they don't like it. It's unreasonable to expect that of fans. Anyway, let's jump over to AEW. This week, once again, AEW won the ratings. Once again, they actually jumped about 100,000 people. They were in the mid-900,000s this week. Won the ratings from NXT, were in the 700,000s. And this is what we said last week. It looks like AEW is going to run between the mid-8s, maybe even the low-8s, to the mid-9s. That's going to be their average. NXT is going to be right around the low 7s to the very, very low 8s. And that's it. That's what's going to happen. The difference is, you know, 100,000 or 120,000, 30,000 right around in there. And that's the difference. And that's it. Now, you could say, well, you know, look, those 100,000 could be all people who just watch NXT the next day on the network or somewhere else. It's possible. It's very possible. But nonetheless, they're winning. And the demographics once again shows that the 18 to 49 or whatever the hell it is range is well in the favor of AEW, which really surprises me. It really does, because I do not see NXT as being quote unquote the older wrestling fans' forte. I watch that show and I say, this is by no means old school. By no means at all. So I don't see this like over 50 demographic is NXT. I don't know why. I look at NXT and I think to myself, well, this is, you know, yeah, this is a newer style. This is a fresh, more targeted to millennial sort of approach. And it's certainly not working. It's certainly not working. So I'm surprised by this, Mike. I'm not surprised that AEW won, but I'm surprised that the demographic is so clearly drawn.
Right, and the demographic is consistent now. We can say that demographic is now consistent in terms of week after week. It's how many weeks have they won this demographic now? 5, 6, 7 weeks,
12.
Something
yeah,
like that.
A lot.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like, how much longer? We all speculated that in terms of ratings and stuff that Vince doesn't care what NXT does. But again, that goes back to this whole thing. If the ratings for Raw and SmackDown go down because he does this, then he's going to care what, or at least somebody like Triple H is going to care what the ratings for both Raw and SmackDown, and maybe even NXT more. But you know, I mean, what are the ratings for Raw and SmackDown right now? What, 2.5 million?
Yeah,
3 million,
yeah,
something like that.
2.5.
You know, if they drop a million because they do this crap, you know, then they'll care about it.
Yeah, look, this is suicidal. Someone's got to get to Vince and say, you must be out of your damn mind. Now, if you want to do this and you want to hold different events, special events, if you want to tell the fans, we're still giving you 12 pay-per-views, but in the midst of this, we're going to do things where this actual service is going to do house shows or bigger house shows or events that you normally wouldn't see Okay, because then it's your choice. You want to watch it, you watch it. You don't want to watch it, you don't watch it. That's all. You know, if they say, well, they're going to have tribute for the troops, and they're going to have this, and they're going to have that for like $10. Okay, well, then if fans want to also subscribe to that and pay for it, that's their option, and that's fine. They're still getting what you promised them when you opened up the network. But when you open up the network, you promise somebody something, and then you go back on it and say, nope, we're not doing that anymore, but we still want your $10. It's not going to happen. Anyway, John Moxley defeats Ortiz. It was the usual build-up to, of course, him and Jericho. Jericho was out there with Swagger and his group, and it was a good match. It was a good match. You know, they put over Ortiz as much as possible by saying, well, he hasn't had a solo match in a long time, but he's a fierce competitor and this and that, and it worked. Moxley escapes before, of course, the Inner Circle hits the ring. That was fine. Obviously, the main crux of the show was the Elite versus Butcher and Blade and the Lucha Brothers. That was their big match, the main event. But, of course, the real main event is Cody Rhodes taking the lashing from MJF. And I want people to understand very clearly that this was an idea that was stolen from ECW. Tommy Dreamer, actually, his gimmick was very different in ECW. And he was not going over with the fans at all. He was trying to do this pretty boy gimmick. It just wasn't working. ECW fans did not appreciate nor really respect Tommy Dreamer. And they did this gimmick where the Sandman got to cane him multiple times. And Tommy Dreamer just took it. And he took it for real, just like Cody Rhodes took it for real from MJF. And his back was bleeding and the welts had built up on him. And he was obviously in real pain and refused to quit. The gimmick was I think he had to be caned until he said no more, you know, until he literally said no more, and he wouldn't. He just kept saying, can I have another, until he was a bloody mess and finally passed out. And fans then accepted him, and he became this hardcore icon. So this is not fresh or new. This was taken directly from a Paul Heyman shtick. But it still worked. It still worked. Now, I know some fans wrote me saying, did you see a fan attack MJF? I'm not convinced that that's a real fan. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that's not a setup. I'm very skeptical to say the least, I'm very skeptical. Just because of the way it went down and the cameras were right, it felt like a work. So I'm not 100% convinced of that. Aside from that, Britt Baker, of course, had her match. She lost, but then went berserk. And, I guess this helps her become a heel. Fans certainly, this was one of the better matches. This is one of the better women's matches on the women's division that they've had. And one of the better storylines in the women's division that they've had. So that's a plus for AEW. Because the women's division is exactly what's sorely lacking in AEW. And, of course, they furthered the Hangman Page thing. He refused to tag in the Young Bucks. After Kenny Omega was distracted, he refused to tag them in, so he ends up getting pinned because he wouldn't tag them in. Later, they accuse him of basically having a drinking problem and that leading to whatever, and we see where this is going. And it's actually pretty interesting. I mean, they're doing a good job of telling multiple stories at the same time, which the WWE's always had trouble with, quite frankly. Not always, but for a very long time. AEW doesn't seem to have that problem. They can tell these multiple stories. And they seem somehow interwoven. It works. It flows very slow. I'll give them credit for that. I would say the show, it wasn't an A show by any stretch of the imagination. It was probably a B minus. There were things in it I liked. There were things in it I didn't like. But the one thing I'm seeing in AEW that I think is beginning to set them apart a little bit, maybe even from NXT, who does this, but maybe not as well as AEW, is, in fact, the continuation of the story and not rushing it. This Hangman Page thing's been going on a while. And it feels like each week it takes a step forward. It doesn't just remain copacetic. It takes a step forward each week. But it doesn't take a leap, just a step. So you're telling the story, but you're telling it very carefully. Bit by bit. You're not leaving anything out. So that it feels more natural when this heel turn happens. It's going to happen. And we all know it's going to happen. And we're all waiting for it to happen. But we don't know when it's going to be because they're not rushing it. Could be next week. Could be 6 weeks from now. We don't know. That's the beauty of it when you tell the story correctly. As opposed to rushing it, which is what the WWE always does. If this was a WWE story 2 weeks ago, he'd have turned heel. So I think that's what the AEW mic is doing better than WWE or NXT, and that is they're allowing their stories time to breathe and to get into the fan psyche so the fans become involved in it rather than just say, well, this is going to be over in 2 weeks and, you know, not really get that involved.
Right, you're right, and that's the thing. I mean, we did get a somewhat of a payoff last night and on Wednesday night, and that was in that Moxley match at the end of the match when he took the key to his eye and cost him his eye, you know, an eye right. for an eye, you know, that was a payoff, and that furthered the story along. Because if he's willing to do that to him, to Ortiz, then what's he going to be willing to do to pretty boy Jericho, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the story they want to tell, and they're telling it very well. Todd, I thought that overall the episode was very good. There were parts of it, again, that I'm, you know, look, I'm not invested in every one of these characters. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not invested in some of these characters. But some of them I am. And even the ones I'm not invested in totally, I understand at least where the story's going, and they're taking their time with it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is what I kind of like. And you don't jump from chapter one through chapter nine. This is like going like through chapter one, chapter two. Chapter 3. This is what I kind of like right here.
And yeah, and they're giving Paige some, what's the right word for it? They're giving him some motivation, whether you agree with Paige or not, when he does what he's going to do. Fans are understanding where he's coming from. Fans are saying, okay, I disagree with him, but I get it. I get where he's coming from. I think that's a good thing. Same way with MJF. I mean, people are disagreeing with him and everything, but they get it. It makes sense. What he's doing to some degree makes sense. And I think, you know, Cody Rhodes and everyone else did a really good job of the whipping angle. Now, did it go on a little bit too long? Probably. Probably. It became a little bit, what's the right word for it? Maudlin, I guess is the word for it, where you say to yourself, okay, I get it. You want me to hate MJF. I get it. But let's not belabor it this way. At the end of the day, it is just 10 lashes. You know, he didn't kill him. And I think some of it was a little overdramatic, but that's just me. So all in all, I give it, like, I think I said a B-. I'll give it a B-, Mike. What was your thoughts this week?
You know, I'll give it a little bit better than that. I'll give it a B+. I mean, a B, I'm sorry. A B, and you're right about Britt Baker. I mean, this is how you want to tell, you know, a heel angle. You know, this is, she's turning heel, but she's
yeah.
kind of doing it really slow. You know,
well, I think she hit her mark this week. I mean, this is obvious heel stuff. And again, it was one of the more interesting things that happened on the show, which means that they realize and recognize this is another strength of AEW. They're not so egotistical that they don't recognize their weaknesses. Some, you know, sometimes I think the WWE is too egotistical to accept that they have weaknesses. And they say, oh, no, no, if you don't like that, that's your malfunction. It's perfect. Everything's great. That came off exactly as we want it. And you're left saying to yourself, you got to be kidding. They can't mean it. And they don't mean it. They just don't want to accept that they have any flaws or weaknesses. AEW is very different in the sense that they realize that people were saying the women's division is not good. So they did the thing with Awesome Kong getting turned on. They did the thing with the Britt Baker turning heel. They recognize the women's division is not drawing fans into their stories. And they said, okay, well, then we're going to change the stories a little bit. Well, Britt will flip. Looks like Kong is going to flip. And we'll wrap some of these up a little earlier than we thought, and we'll go on to something else because we need eyes on the women's division too. That is a positive thing. When you don't have a big enough ego to refuse to acknowledge that there are things you need to correct, then you can correct them. And fans see it and say, okay, well, you know what? Yeah, we didn't like the women's division. The women's division was boring. The matches weren't very good. There was nobody to really root for or boo. They're correcting it. They're trying. At least if you see they're trying, Todd, you can't really blame them.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, you can't really blame them right there. And it, actually, they're trying to work on their women's division and make it better than before.
Yeah, and then they're doing a good job. Now, over in NXT, was a weird show this week because the matches were fine. All the matches were fine. But there were some things I just didn't like. I do not like this tag team of the Broserweights. I just don't like them. Probably because I don't like Matt Riddle, but I think he's dragging Pete Dunne down with him. Just coming out in the little cart and things, I was like, God, what is this? This is terrible. It's not what Pete Dunne should be doing. I think Finn Balor and having that segment where they were both on, what were they, on Instagram or whatever the hell they were on, him and Gargano, that was terrible. I'm sorry, that was just terrible. Just terrible. And this has always been Finn Balor's weakness, and you're playing to it. That's the thing. You know Finn Balor can't do things like this. You know what Finn Balor's strength is. Play to his strength. Why play to his weakness constantly? Having said that, they pulled out the big guns, didn't they? They put Charlotte in the mix. Charlotte comes out to confront Rhea Ripley, and of course, that didn't go too well. But it didn't put more eyes on the product, which really surprises me. And of course, we wouldn't know of the return of Velveteen Dream, so that couldn't have put more eyes on the product. But Velveteen Dream is apparently back. This is a big plus for NXT. Trust me, it's a big plus. Because you could say what you want about the Velveteen Dream, but he is extremely charismatic, and he does draw. And now that the fans know he's back, there may be more interest in the product. I'm very anxious to see. Now, NXT ratings did go up this week. So did AEW's. But we'll see if they go up more now. We'll see if they go up with the possibility of Charlotte Flair showing up again, of the Velveteen Dream being back. And what the Velveteen Dream's presence does more than anything else, in my opinion, is it casts some doubt in the minds of the fans as to whether Adam Cole is really going to lose his match to Tommaso Ciampa. Because you would assume that the big money match would be Velveteen Dream and Adam Cole after what the Undisputed Era did to Velveteen Dream, which would mean that Ciampa would have to lose. And how's Ciampa going to take that loss? There's a lot of branches on this tree now that the Velveteen Dream has come back. a lot of them. So this throws the monkey wrench in. I was firmly convinced Tommaso Ciampa is getting the belt back. That's a given, and we're going from there. The minute I saw Velveteen Dream back, I said, hold on. That may not happen now. Now we may work our way somehow into a three-man match or multiple feuds for Adam Cole. I don't know where this is going. So I think having the Velveteen Dream back in the mix, Mike, is a big positive for NXT.
It is a big positive, but like you said, branches on the tree. I mean, over the last, month or so, what have they been doing with Chump? I want Goldie back, you know.
Right.
So, you know, Daddy's home, I want Goldie back, you know. And that's talking about his belt. He never lost, I mean, he's making a point. I never lost a belt. I had to give it up due to injury. I never lost. And I never got my chance to regain my belt. So he's got a point. Same thing as Velveteen Dream when Velveteen Dream actually did come back. I should have been in the mix for that belt. But an injury happened and unforeseen things happened, you know. Life happens, you know. So there's that. And, of course, what's going to happen? We know that at the next takeover, it's going to be Rhea Ripley and Belair, right?
You would think, so, yeah. Well, no, definitely, yes, it is.
So how's that going to go? I mean, we know that at some point Charlotte's going to have to pull that belt, right? So how's that going to work out?
See, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with this. This is an extremely interesting I always say the WWE paints themselves into a corner, but this is an extremely interesting job of painting yourself into a corner. Rhea Ripley has just basically won this belt. She's going to have to get by Bianca Belair if she's going to ever be considered someone. Otherwise, they're just going to say, well, she was a flash in the pan, wasn't she? Just defended her belt one time. Charlotte Flair is a huge test and someone that they do not want to undermine at all. If anything, they want to build Charlotte Flair up. I don't know how they're going to pull this off. I don't know. Here's what I'm hoping does not happen. Had someone who has been about 60-40 with their information to me say, here's how they're going to pull it off. It's never going to happen. Because Asuka and Kairi Sane are going to attack Charlotte and Rhea Ripley, and they're going to reluctantly agree to tag. And Charlotte's going to say, I've had enough of these two, and, you know, they've been a thorn in my side for I don't know how long. I hope that's not the case. Because if you're going to tell me that Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair have nothing better to do than to go for the tag team belts, and then how are they going to win them? What's Rhea Ripley going to be half of the tag team champions and also the champ? It doesn't make any sense. So I hope that's not what happens. Now, if Belair wins, I guess that could happen. But I don't see it. I don't see that as being a legit thing. And I hope that's not the case. So I don't know where they'll go with Charlotte. You're right. You would think she'd have to just about hold the belt at some point. And then we got to see Angel Garza back, which worries me. It worries me because I'm going to tell you right now that after that unbelievably good debut, I don't want to see him anywhere else except on Monday Night Raw. This is where Angel Garza belongs, believe me. This is the guy they've been looking for. And to see him like do double duty, I'm worried. I'm worried that he's just filling in for Andrade. And the minute Andrade gets back, and we have some news about Andrade in a minute. As soon as he gets back, it's going to be farewell to Garza. And that is a mistake, a gigantic mistake. So let's please not go there. If that performance by Garza did not prove that he belongs up there, I don't know what the hell you're looking at. You better fire every single one of your talent scouts then. Because a blind man could see that he had that crowd in the palm of his hand. And they 90% of them didn't even know who the hell he was when he walked out. You could have heard a pin drop. Zelina Vega had to announce him. This is Angel Garza. He's the cousin of Humberto Carrillo. And fans were like, yeah, that's a big deal. Who cares? Some jabron guy. And within 10 minutes, he had him eaten out of the palm of his hand. He's got a lot of charisma, this guy. He's got that extra something you don't teach. You're kind of born with. You know, the Garza family is legendary in wrestling. He gets it. And I don't want to see him used up in NXT, Mike. I want to see him on the main roster, and I want to see him there permanently.
I want to see him there permanently as well. I mean, we basically all but said he is the next Eddie Guerrero. You know?
Yeah.
That's. I mean, he to some extent, he even looks like Eddie.
Yeah, I know. I know. And I'm not saying that he's as good as Eddie Guerrero right now. He's not. But he's very young. And I mean, you give him some time. Yeah, can he be the next Eddie Guerrero? Yes. I think he can. At least give him the chance to try to be. But let's not use him up down here. Now, again, I said I do not like the Gargano and Balor thing. I didn't. So, I mean, I think that was a waste of time. Undisputed Era had their big brawl with Tommaso Ciampa and Riddle and Dunn. You know, that's fine, I guess. The big thing was it was just the comeback of the Velveteen Dream. We had Jordan Devlin, Tyler Breeze. Jordan Devlin's good. I like Jordan Devlin. I feel bad for Tyler Breeze. He's a much better wrestler than he's getting any kind of credit for. I mean, yes, he is obviously champion, but he's not. I think a lot of people just think, well, he's a placeholder. He could be more than a placeholder. If you give him a shot at it, he could be more than a placeholder. Is he going to keep it a long time? Probably not. So what did this whole NXT thing do for me? Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't think it was as good a show as AEW this week. I think AEW had more drama. I think AEW had more substance. I don't think they had any better matches. I really don't. I mean, I do think that the 8-man tag was great in AEW, but I think there were some great matches here too. So I'm going to give this a C+. I don't think it failed at all. I think it was average, a little better than average, but I don't think it was as good as the AEW this week, Todd. What's your rating on it?
I got to go with you on both. Two same grades on both
shows.
Okay,
so we get a B- and a C+. Mike, what was your grade of AEW this week? I mean NXT this week.
I got to go with a C+, and my grade for AEW was a B.
Right, B, that's right, yeah. So, I mean, they clearly won it. I think they won it, though, Mike, not so much in the ring. I think they won it with the angles and the drama.
Yeah, drama was definitely there. I mean, for AEW, and that's, I mean, if they, I mean, it was, I don't want to say second to none, but if they keep doing this for an extended amount of time, then again, the ratings will show it, and the people will continually go from NXT to AEW. It's going to happen.
I agree. And then if you want to add that Vince McMahon disastrously wants to pull his product off the networks, I don't know what the hell anybody's thinking. No idea what's going on over there in Wonderland where the fans come last. I've never seen an organization like that. I'm being dead honest. I've never seen this. How do you think that makes fans feel? I listen to it and my jaw's dropping because I'm saying he can't be serious. He's got to be ribbing us. And then you realize, no, he's serious. And you're saying to yourself, what? So pulling back from giving the fans what you promised is that's a great idea, huh? No, that's a lousy idea. Now, I said we had some news about Andretti, and we do. Remember when Primo Colon supposedly failed his drug test? And he went nutso and said, I didn't fail any drug test because I didn't take one. I was in Puerto Rico. I told them, that's fine. Find me a doctor that you guys want me to go to in Puerto Rico, and I'll be glad to go. I'm not flying all the way into wherever the hell you guys are to take a drug test and do nothing else if I'm not even booked. Just give me one down here. And he said, I never heard from him again. And next thing you know, I'm suspended because I supposedly failed. But what the failure was is I didn't take it. Refusal to take it. He said, I didn't refuse to take it. I just said, I'm not coming all the way up to wherever the hell you are. You just give me the one in Puerto Rico. Well, now the word is Andrade did not fail a drug test. He just didn't take it. And there's a lot of people in the locker room saying Andrade's totally innocent of this. And this could be why Charlotte Flair was very upset too, because she could possibly know this and say this is bull. So a lot of these policies and these weird things are starting to hurt the WWE. And there was a meeting recently in NXT that left a lot of people upset. And basically what they said was, I believe it was in the same meeting, they told some of the NXT workers, all of the NXT workers, you're not to talk to the dirt sheets anymore. You're not to talk to the people anymore. Too much is getting out. Too much is leaking. Mum is the word. You don't talk to the dirt sheets about your issues, your real life behind the scenes issues, your coming up feud, nothing. You don't talk to them. And incidentally, we need proof that you have health insurance. All of you. Because they don't supply it. And this left a lot of NXT guys not happy. Not happy. It got out immediately, which means that don't talk to the dirt sheets was given the old bird. And somebody said, really? Well, I'm going to go right out and spread what you just said. So there is a lack of, what's the right word for it? I guess respect. I mean, if management sits you down and says, we do not want you to do something, you immediately do it. Then I would think that you don't respect them. Which means you think they're wrong and you think you're being mistreated. This has not happened in NXT before. Everyone was all wonderful and NXT is great and NXT is marvelous. And I don't want to leave NXT to even go to the WWE's Raw or SmackDown. I love it here. All of a sudden it's, well, wait a minute. Now they're telling us what to do. You don't talk to the dirt sheets. You better go get your own health insurance. And suddenly people, and don't be calling up, you know, they did the Matt Riddle thing where they told the wrestlers don't be calling main roster talent out on your Twitter accounts or whatever. Don't do it. Unless we tell you to, you just don't do it. It's considered going into business for yourself. I don't want it. So, I mean, all is not well in NXT land. This is a volatile time. Just when the WWE was starting to calm down and they were saying, oh, there's a much better feel in the locker room now. There's not so much hostility and tension and dissatisfaction. Here we go again. And now these very wrestlers are going to say, well, how many eyes are going to be on a product if you pull all the pay-per-views off of the WWE network? 19. They all know that no one's going to buy. So now what happens? So now there's a lot more dissatisfaction. It's amazing how the WWE can do this on a regular basis. Just amazing. But anyway, that's the news, Mike. Apparently Andrade, from what I'm being told, did not fail a drug test.
Right. And if they're making – I mean, they continue – not only this, but they're continually making their talent unhappy, you know. I mean, we know what Andrade said to his friends or what his rumors that he has said to his friends. We know that – we knew that before she got, I don't want to say sent down, but replaced in NXT, that she was, that Charlotte was unhappy, you know. And this is just another brick in the wall that is, that says that either one or both of these two are not going to be long for the WWE, is Charlotte and Andrade. I mean, if he's saying that He didn't take the drug test. And they said, no, you did. Who's lying? Who are you going to trust? Right now, you got to trust. Right now, I think I'm trusting Andrade more than I'm trusting WWE, because the same thing happened with Cologne, you know?
Yeah, and listen, the thing that's worrying me is bringing in Angel Garza the WWE's way of saying, hey, Andrade, we can replace you just like that. Here's a guy who's Latino. Can I say Latino now? I'm supposed to say Latinx. What the hell is that, by the way? Does anybody know what the hell that is? There's nothing wrong with the word Latino. It's not an insult. Knock it off already. So anyway, a Latino athlete who's just as, probably more charismatic, equally as good in the ring. We don't necessarily need you, so if you don't want to, you know, follow our orders, you don't want to do exactly as we say, we can just cut ties with you. In a way, I feel like maybe, Mike, that's the signal they were trying to send.
Yeah, that's the signal they're trying to send, and maybe they shouldn't be trying to send that signal, because not only would they lose him, but we've already said they're probably going to lose. If they do that, they're going to lose Charlotte. And both of these two guys, people, would run to AEW. But I'll say this about Charlotte. She might not run totally to AEW because of the NWA factor that's out there. She might want to hold her father's ex title, one of her father's ex titles, as well as the WWE title, the NWA women's belt. But that's neither here nor there. But if they're doing this, they're going to alienate these two people, you know?
Well, I'll tell you this. I agree with you that Charlotte has, you know, for her father's history and everything, NWA would be, like, awesome if she was to get into that. But, you know, if you know anything about Ric Flair, you know Ric Flair is going to tell her go where the money is, and guess where the money is? AEW. And could she ever correct that women's division in a heartbeat? Man, oh, man, oh, man. If there's one person, I guarantee you, if there's one person they really are salivating about could we get, it would be Charlotte Flair. Because that would be the instant fix for the women's division. It would instantly give the women's division credibility where you say, well, okay, now they got the women's division on track. And they know their women's division is faltering. They're trying to correct it, but they don't really have any solid names. They don't have a big name. Charlotte would be that big name. They'd throw a ton of money at her. I promise you they'd throw a ton of money at her. And they'd take Andretti happily along with her, happily, if they could. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on over there. I can't figure it out. It's like Dreamville. 1 minute they're saying Andretti failed a drug test and the next, or a wellness test, and the next minute Andretti said, I never took one. 1 minute Angel Garza is debuting on Raw, and he's almost like, here's the new Andretti. He's coming out with the same manager and everything, and then the next minute he's back on NXT as if, well, you know, we can go either way here, Andretti. What do you want to do? 1 minute everybody's smiling and happy in NXT, and it's the greatest kumbaya. We're all a team. We love each other, and we love the company. Next minute, people are grousing. How dare they tell us not to talk to the dirt sheets? How dare they tell us to go out and get our own health insurance? How dare they become, you know, draconian on us? Here we go. Here we go. You see, here's the problem. When you let the inmates run the asylum for a little while, then they resent it when you say we're pulling the reins in. From the very beginning, if it was like this and you said, this is the way it is, if you want to work here, this is what you do, then everybody's like, well, okay, we agreed to this. But a lot of people thought, no, this is a more open thing. The talent gets a lot more freedom. We feel more, less pressure, and we're not so restrictive down here. And all of a sudden, here comes the reins in. Because you abused it, though. Some of the people abused it. You can thank Matt Riddle for that. As far as not talking to the dirt sheets and giving up information and picking trying to pick your next opponents by just saying, I want to be the guy to fight Brock Lesnar, so I'm going to write a whole bunch of bad things about him. And the WWE will see what a great angle this is. Yeah, it's a great angle. Nobody knows who Matt Riddle freaking is. And it's going to be a great angle for him to fight Brock Lesnar. In whose mind? Matt Riddle's mind? I'm more interested in seeing Ricochet fight him. And I know where that's going than I am Matt Riddle. Because I know where that's going to. But of all people, I mean, if you did this and you said, well, I'm picking a low guy on a totem pole, you know, let me see if I can get into work myself into something with Dolph Ziggler or, you know, Bobby Roode or somebody. Okay, you know, whatever. But no, I want the main event. I want their champion, a big guy. Come on, dude. Bro, come on. You're not that special. And if you think you can just write your own rules in life, see, that's the problem. A lot of these people come with a chip on their shoulder. I write my own rules in life. I'm a great athlete. I'm in demand. I was the darling of the indies. I got some legit cred. I'm not like all these bums. I'll write my own rules here. Pretty soon you figure out, no, you won't. Take the chip off your shoulder and start from the freaking bottom. And prove you deserve a spot, and you'll get one. If you're lucky, because there are a lot of people who deserve spots who aren't getting one. I mean, if you're Matt Riddle, take a good look at Shinsuke Nakamura. You think you're better? What the hell happened to Shinsuke? Look what happened. Bobby Roode, how long has he been in wrestling? In a main event capacity? Years and years and years and years. You're different, though, right? You're better than that. I'll write my own path. I'm Matt Riddle. Congratulations. Smoke another one. Because you're obviously, you must be smoking it now, if that's what you think. So anyway, once again, AEW wins the week, deservedly so. They're starting to give the fans exactly what they want. Drama, good storylines, some branches on a tree. We're starting to see now that Darby Allin maybe is going to be getting into a storyline here with this mystery organization here that could or may not be headed by Luke Harper, Brody Lee, whatever he's going to call himself. In the meantime, they've even managed, the AEW's clever, they've even managed to throw smoke that way. Well, who's gonna lead the Dark Order? It's gonna be Brody Lee. It's gonna be Matt Hardy. Maybe it's even gonna be Hangman Page. Who knows? Maybe that's the big shock. Who knows what's gonna happen? Who's the supreme leader? We don't know. Very interesting. Branches on a tree. Multiple storytelling at the same time. In the meantime, WWE is just like, oh yeah, remember when that Rusev thing happened? No, neither do we. Bobby Lashley's now walking out without Lana. Lana's walking out without Bobby Lashley. There's no more Lashley-Rusev feud. We don't know where the hell Rusev is. Everything is just dropped. Sheamus' big comeback, there could have been something. Sheamus coming back for one more run, one more big run, should have been something. And you blew that even, didn't you? Now, you had to know in your wrestling instincts that fans are smart. They read all the dirt sheets. They watch all the YouTube videos. They listen to shows like this. And they understand that this is probably Sheamus' last big run. And they want to root for him. They want a more humble Sheamus to come out and say, I guess you all know that I've had my problems with my physical health. But wrestling means this much to me that I'm going to, you know, I'm do it as long as I can, as high a level as I can, because, I could walk away and probably be the smart thing to do, but I love it too much to do that. And the fans would just go nuts and they'd want to see Sheamus conquer everything. Instead, you say, no, let's make him a heel and get him into a feud with Shorty G, which nobody cares. And just undermine it so that by week 3, everybody's like, yeah, big deal, Sheamus is back. You got nothing out of it. You always end up getting nothing out of stuff you could get big, you know, something big out of. Always. You, tell me what you got out of the Lana Lashley thing. What'd you get out of this? One match or two with Rusev and a couple of mixed matches? That was your plan? What happened to Rusev is going to come out of this, you know, looking really great and being super big, and we got a big plans for him. I know he didn't sign yet, or supposedly didn't sign yet, but you know damn well he's going to. You got nothing out of this. Did it make Lashley look better? No. He's staying. Did it make Lana look better? No. She's staying. So what did you get out of it? You got nothing. Whereas AEW can take something minor and they milk it. They get the most out of it. That's the difference between not so much NXT and AEW, but AEW and WWE. AEW tends to be able to milk the most they can out of whatever it is that they've decided to do. How do we milk it to get the most? Where WWE takes something that you shouldn't even hardly have to milk and just ruins it before it's even displayed to the public, Mike. That's, I think, the main problem with WWE currently.
Right. And look, how long has AEW been in business? You know?
Not long.
Not long. And how long has WWE been
our lifetime.
You know, 10 years, 15 years, I don't know. You know, so it's like, what do you want? Do you want a well-run, well-done show that doesn't seem to run to write itself into corners, or do you want the same old, same old?
I agree. And so what's going to happen now? We get on tonight, we're going to get Bill Goldberg back. I'm just going to be very honest with you. I don't know anything about Bill Goldberg. I don't know whether he seems like a nice guy. I've heard him on interviews. I've heard other people talk about him. Some people say he was a nice guy. Some people say, But the bottom line is, who the hell cares? You're doing this for Saudi Arabia again. You want to send Bill Goldberg to Saudi Arabia, send him to Saudi Arabia, but don't ruin SmackDown with some nonsense where he's going to challenge. I don't know who he's going to challenge. The Undertaker again? Maybe The Fiend? Maybe Roman Reigns. I don't know who he's going to challenge. I don't care. He's not a part of the regular whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just a novelty act. It's a nostalgia act. Go ahead and send him down there. But let's not get some big thing going on SmackDown with it, like he's going to be around past the Saudi Arabian show, because he's not. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll somehow work his way into WrestleMania. I don't know. But I don't know anybody who's all that interested. And yet I'm sure we're going to get a lot of time taken up. A lot of time. And I promised before I went off the air today I would answer a question that a fan sent me in. And I said I'd run it by the panel. I said, of all the WWE wrestlers that they have ruined or they have not given ample opportunity to, who's the one you really feel the worst for? Who's the one you think is really being hung out to dry? That was Tommy in Staten Island. I have to say Mustafa Ali. I got to tell you that guy, he's one of these days you're going to find him, you know, on the edge of a cliff. He's going to be out on the ledge of an apartment building. Because here's a guy they had built up to do, I think, what Kofi did. Ali was going to be what Kofi Kingston ended up. That's the way I seen it. And when he got hurt by Randy Orton, it just fell apart. And now he's absolutely inconsequential in every way, shape, and form. They don't even use him. And he's got to be wondering, what happened? I didn't do anything. You thought so much of me, you were going to put me in a spot where I think he was going to be the champion. At least until Brock Lesnar finished him off. He was going to be Kofi's spot. It was through no fault of my own that I got injured, and now you think so little of me I can't even be on TV. That's bad. I don't think I've ever seen anyone being given up on quite like that. I mean, he was literally laser focused to be something big. They were fast tracking him right up to the top. And through no fault of his own, he got injured and it all fell apart. And they've tried to rebuild him two or three times haphazardly. It didn't work. They tried to make him this street, whatever the hell that was. That didn't work. They tried to do other things with him. It's not working. Nothing's working. It's just like they've just given up and said, whatever, you're a, you know, enhancement talent at this point. And he's got to be sitting there saying, what did I do wrong? Nothing. You know, there are people who you say, well, they were given a chance and they effed it up by doing this shit, like Matt Riddle. Or they were given a chance and the fans didn't really react, or they weren't as good at something as we thought. Or WWE changed their mind because they signed some big name and then whatever. This guy did nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I just don't know what happened to him, Mike, but it looks to me like the WWE totally gave up. Who would you say is the most underutilized guy that you feel sorry for?
I kind of agree with you there, but I'll tell you what. I would say Carmella, because at one point, remember what they were doing with Carmella and the first match, and how we said that they screwed that thing, the first Money in Bank ladder match for women, and how they screwed that up with her. And she never really recovered from that.
Very
you
true.
Know? Yeah, she ended up getting a title from it, but after she lost the title, where has she been?
So I got a little information on Carmella and R-Truth, actually, in a roundabout way, which is interesting. Carmella recently sat down for an interview and said she misses the R-Truth thing. She said it was the most fun she's had in wrestling, and she thought there was a lot more they could do as a team, and that she didn't know R-Truth much when they put him together, but he became a really very close friend of hers, and she thought they had chemistry and really wanted to continue to work with him. And then said, but I look forward to whatever's in the future, but I do miss that. Well, here's something interesting. R-Truth must have that effect on people, because apparently Brock Lesnar, this will floor you, after Brock Lesnar has run in with R-Truth, Brock Lesnar has apparently requested to work with him more and is even writing down ideas. Maybe we could do this. Maybe we could do that. This is Brock Lesnar we're talking about, who don't want to do anything. Is sitting around saying, let me come up with some good ideas for me and R-Truth, because apparently he enjoyed working with him. So there's the power of R-Truth, Mike, in a nutshell, is it, apparently anybody who works with him, it's infectious.
Right. That's another thing. If you've got a guy that's like that, you have to start using that guy more. Because if people want to work with him, you know, I mean, what can you say? If you're getting Brock Lesnar, like you said, if you're getting Brock Lesnar to come up with ideas on how he can work with R-Truth, yeah, we understand that Brock Lesnar is probably going to win most of those matches. But if he's willing to work with him, then that puts it in my mind that he's going to say, well, I'm going to maybe lose a match here or there to this guy.
Well, even if it's not matches, I mean, they haven't said they're going to do matches, but they said Lesnar's coming up with ideas where, like, R-Truth could come in and say this, and maybe we could do this, or he's almost like writing an angle where R-Truth is constantly like a thorn in his side, or, you know, it's constantly coming in and interrupting. If you got Brock Lesnar motivated to write, if you got Brock Lesnar so motivated that instead of just saying, let me do my 3 minutes and get on my friggin', in my SUV and get the hell out of here, or my RV and get the hell out of here, you got Brock Lesnar backstage saying, that was fun. I hope we can do more of this stuff. You think we can do more of this stuff? Maybe if I write some of this stuff, Vince will let me do it with you, because this was a lot of fun. That's big. People want to work with R-Truth. So, okay, that's fine. Even if they're squash match, I don't care about that. But apparently Brock Lesnar is motivated to write angles or write little skits that he wants to do. So if you can get that, people feel good about working with R-Truth, obviously. So why isn't he working? I understand he doesn't want to do a million matches. He's 50 some odd years old, but he could do a few, right? You got to get him in the ring more if that's the case, because he's having that effect on other wrestlers who are saying, this is great, I like this. If you can get wrestler, my God, when you can get Brock Lesnar to sit down and write some angles, then I don't know what to say. That's a very valuable, now you know why R-Truth has been around forever. Apparently he has that effect on everyone, because everyone has told me that Vince McMahon loves R-Truth. If there was one wrestler that Vince McMahon really feels like he's never going to be fired ever, it's R-Truth. Well, now we know why. If you have that effect on the locker room and the people you work with, even if you're a minor character in the grand scheme of things, that's big. It's motivational. He may have a future as a writer or somebody who can help people along with their promos or whatever the hell. So R-Truth's future is kind of probably bright behind the scenes. That's an amazing thing, because I never thought I'd hear Brock Lesnar was sitting down trying to pitch angles or write some angles to come up with, Todd. That's amazing.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, just like a couple weeks ago when you with that skit with R-Truth and Lesnar in the ring, and I noticed at times Lesnar had to turn his head away
yes.
from the camera from laughing and smiling, trying
yeah.
not to laugh on camera.
Yeah, they were on record saying that Lesnar almost lost it when R-Truth thought that Paul Heyman was in the Battle Royal. And he likes it. You know, this is the thing. Brock Lesnar is so used to having to come out and do, I'm going to destroy, and somebody coming out saying, I'm going to slay the beast, that to be able to do something different, where there's like some comedic stuff in it and you get to kind of play off it. He liked it apparently. So good for him. Good for R-Truth, man. Good for R-Truth. We have said on this show, we've been a very strong proponent of R-Truth. All of us have said, give him another little run. You don't have to give him anything major. I'm not saying, against Brock Lesnar for the title. What I'm saying is, could you give him a run toward the Intercontinental or the U.S. belt, whatever belt you want him to have? Even a tag team. Could you give him another little run? The 24/7 thing, the reason he's stuck in that is because nobody else can pull that off and make that as good as it is. But now that they've got Mojo doing this thing, where they're making it more serious, perhaps you can get R-Truth out of that and back into the picture. I'd love to see a tag team, R-Truth and somebody. That would be great. Whoever he works with is going to get a great rub from him. So, anyway, we'll see what happens on SmackDown tonight. Obviously, we're going to see Bill Goldberg, and we're going to find out who his opponent is going to be in Saudi Arabia. And we'll find out, a little bit more about WrestleMania and where that's going to be heading. Should be an interesting show. We'll be back here on Sunday to talk about it.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.